Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis, and my partner Bo Matthews is joining us from home as we continue to practice proper social distancing here at Second Amendment Radio. And joining us for this discussion is our one of our great sponsors from Bluff City Outdoors, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray, who also joined us on the show this week, sticking around for this conversation. Mark, thanks so much for putting in a little overtime this week and sticking around.
Appreciate it.
And yeah, and also, as I mentioned on the show this week, joining us for this discussion on the podcast exclusive is a good friend of mine, good friend of the radio station, Steve Jawar from Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood. As I mentioned on the show, a baker by trade, but truly a fisherman at heart. Steve is going to be with us for this discussion as well. How's it going, Steve?
Good. They call me Bassin Baker.
There you go. The nickname fits for sure. I showed the boys here some of the pictures that you have sent me recently, and Steve is an incredible bass fisherman. So first, though, we have cracked the code. We have solved the problem. On the show this week, we were talking about...
We don't have evidence. We don't have evidence.
About
yes, we
Bo-
do.
Oh, yes, we do.
We
yes.
Have,
thank you,
we
Chad.
We have evidence.
Yes. So, Steve, just to get you up to speed, Bo Matthews has a 42-acre lake on his property.
No, it's not, Steve. It's a puddle. It's a puddle, man.
Well, ooh, you know, it's
an empty
it's,
puddle now.
So he has a pond there. He has a pond. Well, but no, listen. He has a pond there. And you know what? Hey, hold on. Hold on. Let's get Steve's thoughts on this since he doesn't know any of the backstory at all and see what he thinks.
Okay,
so,
Steve.
Yeah, you go ahead, Bo. You go
so,
ahead and set it up.
12-13 years ago, we stocked the lake with like 300 catfish and some bass. And, you know, we did the fish, you know, the fish day thing at the farm store. We stock
nice.
It up. I've been feeding these fish every year, a couple hundred pounds of catfish food. It's fantastic. They're, you know, when we approach the shore, the water bubbles because they're so excited. They're getting food. They know they can hear me coming, and I feed them. Well,
and when you would throw the food in, it's like the water's boiling, right?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally. And we've caught several of them, and we're talking probably 18 inches long. They've really grown out to be really, really nice. The last time I fished, it was November of 2011 or September of 2011. And since that time, the next spring, I go out there to feed the fish, and they are nowhere to be found. They're
2011?
Not bubbling the water. No. November of 2018.
Yeah,
that's right.
2 years ago, right.
So coming up on 2 years ago, and I have not seen the fish since that last November we had caught some fish out of there. My dad and I fished it, but they've disappeared. Now, I do have a neighbor that blows off huge municipal-style fireworks, and that's all we could think of was that it scared the fish to the bottom. And I put a jig where there's a weight at the very bottom, the hook about a foot off the bottom, and I can't catch anything. They're not in there. We haven't seen them. They don't come to the surface, even when I throw catfish food out there. Any idea?
And never had a fish kill or anything like that.
Nope.
Right.
How deep is the pond?
Deepest we found is 15 foot.
Okay, so it should be deep enough. My uncle had a pond in Michigan, and we lost all of our bass that we were putting in there. It was only about 10 feet because it froze, and it killed off the fish.
Yeah.
But these fish have been around for
certainly deep enough.
Yeah, they've been in there for a decade, though, and then they just disappeared.
Yeah. No, I don't have any ideas unless someone's sneaking in there and fishing.
All right.
There it is. Exactly.
I had a neighbor that asked me, "Hey, can I fish your pond every once in a while?" And I was like, "I'd rather you not," because I didn't want him falling in it, you know, and me being responsible. So I just said, "No, I'd rather you not." Very kind answer, right? Well, these guys around here are saying, "Well, he snuck down there in the middle of the night and
somebody did." Yeah. So we asked Mark in the last sec on the air. We asked Mark, and he said the same thing. "I'd check your neighbor's freezer," and I said the same thing.
Do that.
Somebody is stealing. Somebody went in there and fished it. They don't just go to sleep. They don't just become calm all of a sudden.
Sounds like somebody's asking for forgiveness and not permission.
Exactly. Yeah. And then get this, everybody, as we were off the air, Bo fills us in a little bit more. And even though you seem to be in denial about somebody stealing these fish from you late at night and just fishing
hundreds
the pond
of them
dry.
Though hundreds
yeah.
Once the door is open and they find out there's nice fish in there, yeah, they can clean you out, Bo.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right.
They might have had family over fishing.
Yeah,
you never know.
So tell the story that you just told us off the air.
Well, okay, so we're not that far apart. We're probably 150 yards from the neighbor. And so middle of the night, I wake up and I jump in a hot tub and I'm minding my own business. Well, I coughed. And next thing I know, I hear a voice saying, "Gee, Bo, it's awful late to be out." But it sounded like the guy was standing right there, but he was yet on his property. I'm like, that was just the creepiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It was, you know, dark out anyway. So
he's walking back to his property.
With a bucket full of catfish.
Right. my property's going up for sale here real soon. We need to go bigger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you need to restock the pond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's my
pond,
vision.
Bigger 20 feet. Pond. Florida string bass, too.
Yeah, there you go. But Mark, case closed, right? Somebody fished that pond dry.
Yeah, they're in his freezer.
Wow. They're in his belly. Okay. All right, enough of me now. Tony, what's your fishing story?
I don't really have one here recently, but I did want to talk to – I wanted to talk to Steve about what we were talking with Mark about on the show. Mark's shop there, Bluff City Outdoors, is right by the Mississippi River in Alton. And we're talking about the fishing community, the river fishing community, and how that's picking back up. And I wanted to talk to Steve about what he has experienced at the Lake of the Ozarks and other places as far as this year is concerned. I don't know if it has to do with the pandemic and people not being able to go out, and they're kind of rediscovering the great outdoors and maybe getting back out on the water. But it seems like fishing has been a very popular pastime this spring, and it seems like it's been a really great year. What have you experienced so far this year?
I with the quarantine and everything, with the bakeries closed on Monday, my nephew and I have been getting out almost every Monday. We sneak out and we go down to the Lake of the Ozarks, and we've been fishing in the morning, and we have just had a fantastic year. Now, I am surprised on a Monday morning, there's been a ton of boats out there. So a lot of activity on the lake. Going back to when we first started back in March, we've been fishing March, April, May now. And it for the first time in my life to fish every week a body of water like that, we've just had so much fun following the bass from the main creek channel, and the main lake points, back into the spawning areas, and now the big girls are even starting to come back out. It's been phenomenal. We've just had so much fun, being able to, fish every Monday morning.
Yeah, and what's been working for you here lately as far as what are the temperatures you're looking for? What types of lures are you using? I mean, you don't have to give away all your secrets, but You know, what has been working for you here recently?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, in March when we first started in the spring, the colder weather, we were catching them off of main lake points and also boat docks on right off the channel. And we were using, you know, jerk baits and little crank baits. And, you know, as we've been following the bass back into the spawning areas, of course, we're looking for that magical temperature, you know, in the 69, 70 or, you know, low 70s, you know, because that's when they like to spawn. But all fish spawn at different times. So in a big body of water like Lake of the Ozarks, there's always fish coming up on the beds, coming off the beds. So, you know, it's a constant stream of fish going back and forth. As we've been following back into the spawning areas, we've been using things like that Rage craw on a Texas rig. We've been using Carolina rigs with lizards. We've been using jigs and even, you know, big spinner baits, big thumper spinner baits. Mm-hmm. Lately, this last Monday, I caught two really nice ones. And one that I caught, my nephew spotted, it was at the last boat dock in a shallow cove where they were probably spawning. I caught a big, big female, and my nephew swears there was an identical one right next to it as it came up under the dock. And so when I pulled her in, her, you know, her tail was, you know, she was spawned out. So, you know, some of them are even starting to move out now. I caught that one on a little Rage Menace, little, you know, Texas rig style, just, yeah, you know, a little small baits. And I was just dragging it underneath, you know, the corner of the dock, the last dock, you know, until you get to that shallow area where they're spawning.
Yeah, it seems like it's just been a really great year for whatever reason for everybody out there. I was mentioning that, unfortunately, I haven't been out as much as I normally would be at this point. I do have a couple of trips scheduled here, so hopefully I'll be able to take advantage of it. But even in the times that I've been able to run out to a lake or run or, you know, be at the Lake of the Ozarks and run down and fish for a little while, I've had really good success. Mark, what about that idea of the people either fishing for the first time ever or the first time in a long time because of the current situation in the world, things being limited, people not being able to maybe participate in the activities that they normally would? Are you seeing, not just in the fishing community there, but at the shop, Bluff City Outdoors, are a lot of people coming back in and sort of reintroducing themselves to fishing because of the state of the world right now?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it's mind-numbing how many people that have come into the store and say, you know, they hadn't fished in 10 years, yeah, but this is something they actually can go do. And then just new people, I mean, you know, youngsters, some older people that have never fished before. It's just the amount of people, and they're enjoying themselves because now we're seeing them come back for the second, third, and fourth times and stuff. And it's just, it's really nice to be able to, somebody to come in and, hey, I haven't fished in 10 years. What do I need? And, when you know, you hook them up with, you know, something to get them going, and then they go out and have fun and take the kids out. It's really good. I didn't see this coming, and it's almost all across the country. People have been going fishing, and they're getting reintroduced to the outdoors, and hopefully that will translate into more getting out and enjoying the sport.
You know? Amen. That's wonderful.
And that's got to make you feel
Mark,
good, too.
Hey, Mark, I was wondering, how are you doing as far as tackle sales? Because at some of the other dealers, I've noticed that the shelves are pretty empty, and they're telling me, again, what you're telling me, record year, but also that they're having a hard time getting a lot of the terminal tackle because a lot of it's made in China.
Yes, that's a lot of the companies that are importing. It's a huge bottleneck. Fortunately for us, the way we're kind of organized over there with a lot of the companies, you know, we buy direct from them, and I had loaded up pretty good this spring, you know, like I normally do. And then dealing with the smaller ones, especially some of the on the crappie side, you got all these small crappie guys out there with their plastics and that. they're doing a really good job of resupplying, because most of that stuff is U.S. built. A lot of people don't know it. Your terminal stuff, a lot of that's imported, but most of your plastic baits are almost all made in the United States. So they've been able to get that stuff resupplied. Some of your big companies, Zebco, Quantum, they had shut down for a while. Eagle Claw was shut down for a while. I think Strike King was shut down for a while. So some of that merchandise is a little bit harder to get, but you know, like I said, I just noticed the big box stores, they're bare, and I think it's because of the way they have to order and comes through their distribution and everything, and whereas we can respond a little quicker. So while we have some stuff that's been very hard to get, other things we're doing a nice job of.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you walk through the bicycle department at Walmart, all the bicycles are gone. And I imagine it's because they're all coming from China. But Mark, I gotta just ask. I mean, it's got to make you feel really good. You've been around the river fish and the catfish in a long time. Doesn't it kind of like reinvigorate you when you're seeing fishing through new eyes again, or you know, people revisiting this? They had great memories as a kid. I mean, you personally, that's got to be cool for you.
Oh, it is, and it's great to be able to help people out. And then you know, just for me, it's kind of because the way things had gone in the fishing business for the last 10 years, you know, it was a slow, steady decline in the amount of participation, competing with the video games, trying to get new people into fishing. And then all at once, you see this thing and you're going, my gosh, there is still people out there wanting to do these activities. And I think it's going to be very lasting.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, you got the people that are getting into kayak fishing. You got groups out there, kayak bass fishermen, a kayak cat fishermen. And I had a guy come in the other day, and he was just saying he just bought his kayak, and he went up, I think he went up Piasaw Creek and caught like 50 bluegill back up in there. You know, you're sitting going, that for most people in most boats, that area where he went up in there, because it's so small, you know, it's inaccessible. But he, you know, went up in there, had a great time, and shared it with me. I love that.
Steve, I noticed that some of the pictures that I've seen that from your trips here recently, obviously mostly bass, but I've seen some crappie that you've been catching. Are you catching those crappie on the bass lures, fishing for bass, and the crappies are just hitting that as well? Or are you mixing it up a bit and actually going for the crappie?
No, we're primarily fishing for bass, but we like to use a really small little crankbait. It's almost, you can almost call it a crappie crankbait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've been catching big bass on those. And then yeah, I mean, you'll catch some white bass. You'll even catch some crappie on it. I've even had big catfish, you know, jump on it as well too.
Yeah, just not at Bo's house though.
No.
Oh, gosh. Really? Are we going there again?
If you don't mind, Steve, put those catfish in the live well and drive them to Bo's house, because he needs to be restocked.
Hey, by the way, Steve, I want to, is it a restaurant? Is it just a bakery?
Great Irish Bread Company, yeah, in Maplewood. It's a bakery.
I grew up in a donut shop, so I feel kinship here. but I got to ask you, you know, I'm looking at these pictures that Tony shared with us on your bass. I mean, these are unbelievable fish. Are you a catch and release, or are you a catch and grease?
No, we catch and release. I mean, we will keep some of the crappie, but we release the bass.
We keep
the white bass and the crappie sometimes, and you know, get some fillets out of those.
What's the pressure been like, Steve, at the Lake of the Ozarks and any other place that you've been? Is it more crowded, like all the things that we've been talking about here, you know, with just more people being introduced to it? Do you see more pressure on the water from fishermen, or is it about what normal?
I've been amazed, because for a Monday morning, we're keeping our social distance of 6 feet between each boat, but there's just a ton of boats out there. And I've just been real surprised, because I thought, you know, certainly at 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday, hey, you know, it can't be that bad. But by 11 o'clock or so, I mean, there's fishermen all over the place. I mean, it seems to be very crowded. I don't know what it normally is, but it just seems strange for me. I think it's the quarantine. I think it's what you guys were saying. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to do. So, hey, why not take advantage and, you know, let's go fishing.
Bo, you know, you mentioned the bicycles, and I should have sent this to you. I found a news story about that, about bikes and how they're sold out and how they're gone everywhere. And it's according to this article that I read, it was because of the same reason that we're seeing more people fishing, is that just more people have been introduced or reintroduced to that lifestyle because they haven't been able to do what they the activities that they normally participate in. And it just created a run on the industry. It didn't say anything about like supplies coming from overseas or anything that like that. It just said that there's been an incredible spike in bicycle sales due to the pandemic.
Yeah, but you would think that they would restock at some point. They've restocked toilet paper at some point. And like Steve was talking about, the fishing lures, or Mark was saying, you know, the fishing equipment is gone because everybody's at my house fishing, obviously. But but so much stuff. This is what's crazy about this world is we source so much from this communist country.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I don't understand why we put ourselves in this position.
That's a whole nother conversation.
This conversation. Let's go.
Well, it's big. it's taxes and cost and
tariffs. Yeah, I get it.
There's a whole lot that go into that. Before we wrap things up, Mark, I wanted to, you know, you got all these new people coming in, people that haven't been fishing for a long time, or maybe, you know, for the first time. For somebody who might be listening that is really interested in getting back into fishing, but they just don't know where to start, they don't know how much it's going to cost. Like, what are the tips and advice that you give your customers when they come in and say, like, look, you know, I just kind of got the itch. I haven't fished since I was a kid, but I want to get going again. What kind of advice do you give people, the customers that come in with that concern?
Yeah, we usually, you know, we try to ask them real quick, well, are they fishing on a pond, river, or big lake? Because that, once we know that, then we can guide them to the types of lures that they need to fish that body of water. If they're going onto a pond and they're wanting to catch some bass, crappie, bluegill, you know, we'll say, hey, you know, a Zepco 33 type, you know, combo for $30. And then we show them the baits, beetle spins, rooster tails, roadrunners. Those are just, they catch fish everywhere. So we hook them up with that simple stuff, easy to use, let them go have some fun. And then we had a couple of young gals that they're going to the dental school, and they've been in probably 20 times now, but their first time in, that's what we hooked them up with. And then one of them caught a nice couple pound bass, you know, on a rooster tail. So she comes back in and wants to get something a little bit better so she could try to catch a bigger one. And she caught a 5-6 pound bass the other day. You know,
that's awesome.
It's cool to see that. And it's just great because they can come into our store. We're all fishermen. That's what we like to do. We're listening to all the customers coming in, tell us what's working, where they're catching fish, so we can help people out pretty well. And it's just neat, you know.
Good stuff. Yeah, and for people that that maybe didn't hear the show this week, one more time, tell them how they can find you out there at Bluff City Outdoors, website, address, social media, all that good stuff.
Yep, so our website's BluffCityOutdoors.com, and we're also on Facebook, Bluff City Outdoors. We're in Alton, 1 mile east of Fast Eddie. Most people know where that's at. We're just a mile down the road. And like I said, it's just come in and see us. We're open 7 days a week. The only days of the year we close are Thanksgiving Day, Christmas, and New Year's.
There you go. And they have got you covered at Bluff City Outdoors. Trust me on that. I have many lures and a lot of my gear in the tackle boxes from Bluff City. And
we've added a tremendous amount of crappie stuff this spring.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good. Good stuff.
And we're adding more and more bass stuff. We're really getting it reshaped, and the people are responding and loving it.
That's great.
Created a big selection of Guggen baits, which that's, you know, the young people really follow that. And so we put a bunch of that in, and, you know, once the word got out, they come in here in droves and buy that stuff. So
gotcha.
It's really neat.
That is. That's awesome. BluffCityOutdoors.com. Make sure you go and check it out. And Steve, you know, anybody that's listened to me for any amount of time knows that you and I have a good friendship. You were a longtime sponsor of the radio station as well. And Great Harvest Bread Company out there in Maplewood is an awesome place to go. Tell people about the bakery.
Well, we're on Manchester across from Schnucks in downtown Maplewood, 7360 Manchester Road, trying to come back to normal after this this virus. We are open 5 days a week. We're baking. We do have curbside service. We've got a great staff of bread ambassadors. And, you know, in any given day, we think we make the best whole wheat bread and cookies and muffins and cinnamon rolls on the planet.
I co-sign that 100%. Make sure you pick up some pumpkin bread anytime you are there because that is my favorite. But yeah, cookies, muffins, the bread. You can even grab yourself lunch if you are in Maplewood around lunchtime. Great little lunch menu as well out there at
Father's Day this weekend too.
Yeah.
Cookies and pumpkin bread.
That's right. That's right.
Hopefully someone will think of you, Tony.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. We'll find out, right? Well, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, Steve Jawar from Great Harvest Bread Company, thanks guys so much for joining us for the podcast exclusive this week.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Bo, Tony.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day
to all the fathers out there. And once again, thank you for downloading the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Don't forget, we put out two podcasts every week. The show podcast goes out on Fridays, and the podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. That's going to do it for this week's podcast exclusive. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.